3 months into the year, and we're going to discuss some issues that may be on your mind, and I know they're on some people's mind. Bridget Finke, our resident attorney, is with us once again. Bridget with Valley Crossing Law in the Baldwin area, and also a farm girl herself from over in the Edgar area in central Wisconsin. Now an attorney that we've talked to for a long, long time. Bridget, we're getting into spring. We're getting out on the land. And I know one of the things that I've seen in the news, land purchases, land sales, they've been pretty good. And I know a lot of people are thinking about that, but there are tax implications as we get into some of these land transfers, land sales, land purchases, aren't there?
There sure are, particularly when folks are maybe interested in freeing up some capital by maybe selling some non-productive land or, you know, having an opportunity to maybe get a piece that's better ground, closer to the main farm, and so thinking about selling some land to trade that.
And the implications are, we're always concerned about the taxes. We sell a chunk of land for a big amount of money. We got capital gains, but there are some provisions we can delay the hit, so to speak. How does that all work?
I think because there's a lot of talk in the news right now about that capital gains tax rate going up, and that's a tax that we pay when we sell an asset, and the difference between our tax value or cost basis in the asset and what we sell it for, that's what's subject to capital gains tax. And there's been a lot of talk that that's going to go up. And so I've been getting more questions about doing 1031 exchanges. And that 1031 is a reference to the tax code. And what it allows us to do, that if we're going to do this plan of we're going to sell one piece of ground and buy a new piece of ground, to avoid that tax hit on that sale by basically swapping out our tax value on that first piece and putting it over on that second piece. And there's a whole lot of technicalities with doing that, of time frames and using a qualified intermediary. So there's a lot of things to I's to dot and T's to cross. So if anybody's thinking they're going to do that, you know, talk to your tax preparer, talk to your attorney. Make sure if you go too far in your deal, you might lose the opportunity to even do that. So it can be helpful if you are going to sell a piece of ground that's basically the same value of the new piece you're buying, and that first sale would cost you a lot of tax. So now you have less money because you've sent some off to Uncle Sam, allows you to have that full equity amount to put into that new property.
What is the time frame aspect you're talking about here? Before, 1031 can help us now, but eventually down the road, it's probably going to, in some way, shape, or form, it's going to catch up with us in our tax liability, isn't it?
Well, so that's the deal. It's not tax avoided, it's tax deferred. So basically, we've kicked the can. So, you know, let's say we had a $200,000 gain that we got to avoid by doing this swap and moving that tax basis over to the new property. Now, if we march forward another 20 or 30 years and it's time for the sale, now what we've done, we're still using that old, really low basis in that land. So maybe even though we paid $500,000 for this new piece of property, our tax value is still that, you know, very low, maybe $20,000 that we had when we bought that old piece that we exchanged. So what you can do is kick the can, but the can keeps getting bigger because land values keep going up and we're still measuring against that very old value.
And we talk about that very old value. Is that etched in stone, or does that value change too, not just on the piece we're buying, but the piece we're selling?
Well, your tax basis, and if we're talking bare land, so not with buildings that we've depreciated, that's a pretty fixed number unless you add capital improvements on things. The one thing we have now, and what bails a lot of people out of the kick the can problem, is the fact that if that land then passes as a result of a death, you get that reset, you get that step up in basis that we talk about all the time. And so that can really get us out of that tax issue, because now we magically, you know, the owner of that new piece of ground that's worth that $500,000 passes away. Now our tax value magically goes to that $500,000, and we don't have to worry about that capital gains tax problem. But the thing to keep in mind is, you know, that's another one of those things for discussion. I think we talked about last month about the idea of eliminating that step-up in basis. So now we might not have that whole get-out-of-jail-free card that we used to have.
So how does this change, and how do we have to recognize this? We've got a long-term estate plan, so to speak. Does this require us to go in and change any of that? Because that's obviously a longer-term document, so to speak, than maybe what we're dealing with here with the 1031 exchanges.
Mm-hmm. Well, anytime you're making a significant change in your assets, it's always a good time to just take the temperature of your plan. I have a lot of farm clients that their plan maybe identifies specific pieces of real estate to go to specific children. So definitely if you're selling that specific piece of real estate, you want to consider whether we need to make an update to identify now that new piece of property. If you have a trust, it's always important to make sure that you're, you know, buying and selling land in the proper name and not inadvertently leaving things off your truck, as I like to call those trusts. And so, yeah, anytime there's a significant change in your assets, always a good time to just, like I say, take the temperature of that plan. It may not mean you need changes, depending on how your plan is structured. But better to be proactive and identify if there's any issues when we still got a chance to fix it versus waiting until after and going, oh, no.
And now would be a good time before we get in the fields to do that. And one quick question. I know you can't give a definitive answer here because we don't have a definitive law change or rule change. When they talk about the inheritance tax, it went way up in the Trump administration. Now they're talking about Biden bringing that way back down. Is that something we need to address as far as our long-term estate plan and to move it on to the next generation, or until we know for sure, nothing really we can do about it?
Well, it's all strategic risk, right? This sounds like farming, right? Everything is strategic risk. So we always knew that those Trump changes were set to sunset in 2026. So for folks with significant estates, and I'm talking, you know, $12 million for a single person or into that $20 million area for a married couple, they've already been keeping an eye on it even from the time the law was passed, because we knew that, it was going to backtrack from the $5 million base plus inflation up to that $10 million, and then it's set to go back to that $5 million. So we always knew that there was going to be an issue, but there is talk about that happening sooner and it being even, you know, more of a retraction. So walking back to the $3.5 million mark that was in place back in 2008-2009 before that last big change. So it is really dependent on your asset picture, your plan as to whether all this talk about change is an issue. For folks that are under the $3.5 million mark or $7 million as a couple, you may not have a whole lot to be concerned about. And so, you know, if your estate is $1 million or $1.5 million, then all of this talk of change probably isn't going to be a big impact for you. But certainly if you've got the more significant estate, and it's easy for that to be the case on paper when we're talking modern farm operations, just because we need so many capital assets to make the whole thing work. And so I would say, you know, no reason to go screaming yet. I mean, we don't even have a bill proposed, and a lot of the talk has been that's pretty far down the list of our problems to be solved right now, but definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that's for sure. A lot of things as we change administrations, always, that's for sure. Bridget, how do we get a hold of you if we have more information on estates, taxes, wills, those sorts of things? What's the number?
It's 715-688-4045, or if you're an internet person, wisconsinfarmlaw.com.
And that'll get a lot of answers to a lot of your questions from Bridget Finke, our resident attorney, once again with Valley Crossing Law in the Baldwin area. I'm Bob Osel.
Hey, I'm Bob Osel.